Hey there, this is Amanda Kelly with Joyful Heart, and I am so glad that you found me. In this podcast, I just share my heart, I love to share scripture, and I love to dish out encouragement. So thanks for finding me. I pray that this podcast encourages you and fills you with joy. Hello there, I am Amanda Kelly with Joyful Heart Family. And today I want to talk to you about something that is really vital, really important for us to get and to understand. And it is the fact that there is a spiritual battle going on and that we are not helpless in the fight, but we can put on armor of God. And so I'm so excited to share some scripture with you about this battle that we're in, the enemy that we're fighting, and how we are not left defenseless, but we have armor that we can put on. So there are several sections of scripture that talk about this. We're going to start talking about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. And this is the Voice translation, starting in verse 10. Finally, brothers and sisters, draw your strength and might from God. Put on the full armor of God to protect yourselves from the devil and his evil schemes. We're not waging war against enemies of flesh and blood alone. No, this fight is against tyrants, against authorities, against supernatural powers and demon princes that slither in the darkness of this world, and against wicked spiritual armies that lurk about in heavenly supernatural places. And in the Amplified, it says, starting in verse 10, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, draw your strength from Him, and be empowered through your union with Him, and in the power of His boundless might. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like the splendid armor of a heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able to successfully stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly, supernatural places. So, our fight is not with our spouse, our kids, our in-laws, or our coworkers. No, our fight is supernatural. There is a spiritual battle happening, whether we see it or not. We have to use our spiritual eyes to see what is really, truly going on. There are spiritual armies fighting, waging war against one another. There is a battle happening for human souls. We are far from defenseless, though. So, the Voice translation goes on to describe the armor, starting in verse 13. And this is why you need to be head to toe in the full armor of God, so you can resist during these evil days and be fully prepared to hold your ground. Yes, stand. Truth bounded around your waist, righteousness as your chest plate, and feet protected in preparation to proclaim the good news of peace. Don't forget to raise the shield of faith above all else, so you will be able to extinguish flaming spears hurled at you from the wicked one. Take also the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I like to listen to it in the Amplified as well. In the Amplified, starting in verse 13, this is Ephesians 6. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God, so that you will be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. So they're saying when you stand firm, you would be in your place, fully prepared, immovable, and victorious. So stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, and moral courage around your waist. So here the Amplified goes in a little bit more and explains in more detail that belt of truth. It's banded around your waist, and that band of truth is personal integrity and moral courage. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is an upright heart, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation, to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. Above all, again I'll say it, above all, lift up the protective shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. This says all the flaming arrows can be extinguished with your shield of faith. And it says, above all, lift up that protective shield of faith. Faith activates all of this. Faith allows us to know there's a battle in the first place and to trust that God really has provided armor for us. We need that faith. Now in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests at all times, on every occasion and in every season. Pray and petition with those specific requests at all times and in every season. Pray in the Spirit and with this in view. Stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all God's people. And Paul says, and pray for me that words may be given to me when I open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of salvation, for which I am an ambassador in chains, and pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly and courageously as I should. So here Paul is asking the Ephesians to pray for him. And in the Voice translation, starting in verse 18, it says, pray always, pray in the Spirit. Pray about everything in every way you know how. And keeping all this in mind, pray on behalf of God's people. Keep on praying feverishly and be on the lookout until evil has been stayed. And please pray for me. Pray that truth will be with me before I even open my mouth. Ask the Spirit to guide me while I boldly defend the mystery that is the good news, for which I am an ambassador in chains. So pray that I can bravely pronounce the truth as I should do. So in this passage of Scripture, regardless of whatever translation you read, we are given both offensive and defensive provisions from the Lord. Defensively, we have our armor. Offensively, we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and prayer. So, defensively, we fight the devil's schemes and armies with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith, and salvation. And then those armor pieces, it's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace protecting our feet. Sometimes people call them the good news shoes. The shield of faith to extinguish the fiery arrows of the enemy, and the helmet of salvation. Offensively, our weapon is a sword. That sword is God's word, the Bible. Take a moment and really think about that. I did, and I was kind of amazed. I mean, I've heard about the sword of the Spirit since I was a young child, but to really stop and to think about it, our weapons to offensively attack our enemy in this spiritual battle is in fighting evil is with God's word and prayer. Wow. Wow. Have you ever thought of prayer and God's word as a sword and as your weapon? And I was reminded that so many Christians struggle to pray and read and know God's word. And sisters and brothers, these are our weapons and we are not using them. And this really burdens my heart as I think about it. Maybe if we truly recognized and understood that, one, we are actually in a spiritual battle of human souls for our own souls and those we care about and love, and two, that these are actually our weapons, God's word and prayer. So maybe if we recognized and understood this, perhaps we would be more motivated or excited. We'd be desperate and urgent to pray and read God's word. These aren't nice little check boxes to check off in our spiritual to-do list. No, no. These are how we engage with our enemy and fight back against the devil's schemes to take us down and the ones we care and love about down. He wants to take us down, and these are our weapons, God's word and prayer. This is war. And whether we are ignorant or we want to stick our heads in the sand and be distracted that it's actually taking place, It is taking place. And honestly, the devil wants us distracted and unaware of the spiritual war that is waging for our souls. Well, why is God's word called a sword of the Spirit? I did a wonderful Bible study. Perhaps you've heard of it or done it too. Priscilla Shirer, the Bible study teacher, she has a great Bible study and teaching videos where she goes through each item in the armor of God. I would encourage you to do this Bible study. It will bless and encourage you. Here are some of her insights about the sword of the Spirit. Since the sword of the Spirit is an offensive weapon, Paul is telling us that we shouldn't always take a defensive posture. We should maintain a posture of victory. The sword described here was so small that it was perfect for hand-to-hand combat. Sometimes it feels like the enemy is right in our face, doesn't it? Sometimes it's not this far-off battle, but it's a face-to-face fight. There are three different words in the original scripture that are translated Word of God. One is graph, which means the words on the page, the ink, the paper, literally the book. Two is logos, which is the message of the graph, which is understand and explained in what you hear. And number three is the rhema. The word of God is the utterance of God, the spoken word of God to you in your life. In Luke 2:19, it says that Mary treasured the rhema. She was treasuring the utterances, the words of God spoken to her in her life. This is the Greek word used in Ephesians 6:17 in this passage, rhema, the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, the utterances of God, the spoken word of God to you in your life. In Matthew 4, Jesus used the rhema, this sword of God's word, when he was being tempted in the desert by the devil. It is written, grapho, which is the word for graph, that man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that proceeds from God's mouth. Then Satan came back at Jesus with scripture too, that the angels would keep his feet from falling. But Jesus again engaged with his sword. He did hand-to-hand combat, scripture for scripture, saying more of the rhema. The Holy Spirit is handing us the sword. In Hebrews 4:12, that's a very famous verse. It's talking about the logos here. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It is a needle sharp, cutting to the joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, I found out later in life, as I was a little bit older and studying God's word, the Old Testament is so rich. So there's another armor of God talked about in the Old Testament. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet records down the words of God. Israel is going to be punished for their sins, their wrongdoing, their disobedience, and their turning away from God by invasion from foreign powers. Now you're going to see and hear some familiar words here. This is what it says in Isaiah. It's true. The Eternal One saw it all and was understandably perturbed at the absence of justice. God looked long and hard, but there wasn't a single person who tried to put a stop to the injustice and lies. So God took action. His own strong arm reached out and brought salvation. His own righteousness, good and pure, sustained him. Now listen up. Verse 17. But God's equipment was that of no ordinary warrior. He strapped on righteousness as his breastplate and put on the helmet of salvation. Wrapped in vengeance for clothing and passion as a cloak, God prepared for war. Finally, God determined they must get what they've earned. Fury to those who oppose him, vengeance against those who are against him. To the ends of the known world, God will go to render justice. This is how people from east to west will come to respect the name and honor the glory of the Eternal, for he will come on like a torrential flood driven by the Eternal's winds. Verse 20, the Eternal One says, the Redeemer will come to make Zion right again, to rescue those of Jacob's holy line who turned their backs on wrongdoing. This is what the Eternal One declares. This is my covenant promise to them, my Spirit, which rests on and moves in you, and my words, which I have planted within your heart, will continue to be spoken among you and move you to action. And not only you, but so it will be for your children and their children too, and so on through the generations of all time. I love this passage. And honestly, that's why I love to share God's word with others, so that God's words would continue to be spoken among us from generation to generation, from our children to their children, and that his words would move us to action. And it would move our children to action through the generations. So I don't know what God is asking you to do, what action he's wanting you to move forward with after hearing about this armor, after hearing about the spiritual battle that we are in. But I know it would start with that we need to pray and read his word. And I say that to myself as well. And we need to suit up with that armor, those defensive armor protection that God has given us, and our offensive weapons, which are prayer and God's word, the words that are spoken to us and the words he says. I am so thankful for a God who loves us so much that he punishes injustice, and he allows us to fight in this battle with his mighty provisions and weapons. Unlike an epic movie or novel, we don't have to sit on the edge of our seats in suspense, wondering the outcome. For God has told us the battle belongs to the Lord, and he is victorious. Our enemies know this. We may despair over our battle wounds or of those we care about, but physically fatal wounds like cancer, disease, illness, accidents, evil, they are never spiritually fatal. Those physically fatal wounds need not be spiritually fatal. The enemy and the hardships of this life can take us out of this earthly battle. We can lose our physical life, but our spirit, our soul, our eternal destiny is secure. It is secure in the promises, truth, and victory of God's plan. We have now on earth, and greater realized in heaven, eternal closeness with our Creator and Savior. This closeness, given to us through salvation of our souls by trusting Jesus' death on the cross. Selah. Rest. Breathe. Ponder. Hallelujah. What is your response? What is your response to all of this? I encourage you. We no longer can be ignorant of the spiritual battle that is happening around us, the war that is raging for the souls of our neighbors, of our friends, our coworkers, of our family, our children. We have been called to fight. We have been called to put on the armor of God. We have been called to take up the sword of his spirit, which means we need to be in his word, reading it, knowing what it says. We need to be still and listen for that still small voice that he gives us. And we need to pray. We need to pray. Many times in scripture, pray without ceasing, present your requests to God so you'll know what his will is. Those are our offensive weapons. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the utterances, the rhema, what he is saying and talking to us. And then we put on the armor of God, the belt of truth around our waist, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel of peace protecting our feet, the shield of faith to extinguish those fiery arrows of the enemy. And it said all the fiery arrows. And we put on the helmet of salvation. Let's do it. Brothers, sisters, let's put on that armor. Let's do this thing. We have been called to engage and to fight, to take up our sword and to pray. Will you join me? Will you join me in this, in fighting for the souls of the people we know and love, and for our own, We can fight for the plans, the destiny, the calling that God has put on our lives. We are not here by accident. We are put here for plan and purpose, and it is to make Jesus known and famous, to show his love to others through the work that we do and the way that we treat others. Lord, I just want to pray right now for my sisters, my friends, my brothers that are listening. God, it is so easy to forget that we are in a spiritual battle. It's so easy to be distracted by Satan's schemes and tactics. It's so easy to be despairing and discouraged and hopeless, Lord. But God, when we are in your word, when we are praying constantly, when we are hearing scripture like in this podcast spoken over us on a regular basis, when we get our face into your word, we are renewed. Our mind is renewed. Our heart, our spirit is renewed. And I just thank you so much for the people who went before us, who died, who risked their lives to get your word out there, translated, so that we can have it everywhere today. Jesus, thank you so much. God, thank you that you call us to fight, that you provide armor for us to protect us in this spiritual battle. We are not helpless, and we are victorious. Regardless of whatever physical wounds or hardships that come in our way in this life, God, our eternal destiny is secure, and we know that the battle belongs to you and the victory is yours. And therefore, when we're on your side, the victory is ours. We are victorious. This is your battle, God. This is your fight. You allow us to be a part of it. And I pray for spiritual eyes so that we would see and realize what's going on in the heavenly realms, this spiritual battle. And Lord, that would not cause us to fear, that we would have an awesome reverence for what is going on, and that we would be serious and urgent about putting on that armor daily, that we would remember and put this before us, God, that we wouldn't be distracted. Thank you so much for the armor you provide. Thank you so much for the victory. Thank you so much for Jesus' death on the cross for us. Thank you so much that you love us and your heart has always been relationally to bring us back to one another. God, may you be glorified. The victory is yours. We love you. I pray for my brothers and sisters to fight alongside you and alongside me. May we not be taken out of the fight until you're ready, God, for that to happen. May we be victorious. We honor you and we praise you. The victory is yours. We raise our battle cry and we say, bring it on. Thanks so much for listening today. Again, this is Amanda Kelly with Joyful Heart Family, and I pray that this was a blessing to you. And if it was, I'm going to invite you to write a review or tell a friend about our podcast. I would really appreciate that so that that can help us get God's word and this podcast in more people's ears. Hey, I wanted to also let you know about several other resources that I offer that would totally bless you and your family. So I have Joyful Heart Family at www.joyfulheartfamily.com, which is a resource and a website with different inspiration and encouragement for your health, your wellness, your family, your relationship with God, even creating happy family traditions. I also have joyfulheartdance.com, which I started a family-friendly, God-honoring, dad-approved dance program for families. We offer classes online and in person in our Glendale, Arizona home studio. Visit joyfulheartdance.com or joyfulheartcourses.com to learn more and to take some of those online classes. I also started a courses website where we have inspiring and educational information and resources for you to grow in whatever area you are looking for. It's joyfulheartcourses.com. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you so much. Now go have a blessed and joyful day.